Welcome to the Preaching Matters podcast. My name is Alan Carr, and I am your host. Thank you for listening to our episode today. On this podcast, we talk about preaching because we believe preaching matters, and we certainly want our preaching to be better. We want it to glorify God, and we want it to be biblical. And so that's what this podcast is about. We talk about all matters related to preaching because we believe preaching matters. So thank you for tuning in today. We're going to get right into the episode, but before we do, let me ask you to go to your favorite podcast directory and leave us a good review. We would appreciate that. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you think. Now, let's talk about preaching because preaching matters. Good day to you, wherever you are, and thank you for tuning in to the Preaching Matters podcast today. This is episode number 41, and we're going to be talking about today some tips for producing better sermon introductions, okay? We're going to talk about producing a better sermon introduction. Now, I just had an episode about the introduction a little while back, and I'm not going to go through all of that stuff, but I am just going to kind of give you a little bit of an intro again into what a sermon introduction is, and I want to give you some tips on how to improve your sermons and make them better for the glory of God. So we're going to talk about that today, and I hope it'll be a help to you. I hope it'll challenge you to work on your sermon introductions and figure out a way to do it better so that God is glorified through your preaching, and that when you preach, you connect and you really want to. And I'll tell you why. Really, the first 90 seconds, I think it was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who said that the first 90 seconds of the sermon is the most powerful time you have, and you have to make those 90 seconds count. And he tells us in his work that you and I need to work on our introductions and be sure we have something interesting to say, right? We want to make our sermon the most interesting thing going on in the room, and one of the ways we do that is to engage our listeners right from the get-go. If we don't, sometimes we might lose them for the rest of the sermon. So there are a lot of ways you can introduce a sermon, right? And so let's talk about just a couple of things that hopefully will help us be better preachers and how to and produce better sermon introductions. So we're going to talk about, and again, I'm going to say this, and you can agree or disagree, and that's fine, whatever you want to do. But I am an advocate of thoroughly writing out, completely writing out, thinking through what you want to say in the introduction. I'm an advocate of doing that, and I believe that is a good way to think yourself clear through writing it down and getting that into your heart so that you can get up and present your sermon introduction with great eye contact so that you're not stuck in your notes, but that your eyes are on the people, and so you can arouse that interest and whet their appetite to hear what God has given you for the day. So as we know, the introduction must command attention. Listen, when you stand before a congregation, I don't care if there are 20 people or 20,000, everybody who came in that door came in carrying a whole backload, a whole truckload, if you will, of problems and things that require their attention. There are issues at home. There are issues on the job. There are issues in the community. There's issues in the world, obviously. And these people have a lot on their minds. Some of them are wondering how they're going to buy groceries this week, or how they're going to put gas in the tank, or their child needs this for school, but they don't have the money. And that's occupying their mind. Maybe their marriage is on the rocks. Maybe there are mental issues, and maybe some disability, some depression issues and that kind of thing. And these folk have their minds going in 1,000 different directions. And for a few minutes on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Sunday night or whenever it is, you're trying to engage that person who has such a noisy world to live in. And they have a lot going on. And that is why you and I need to be creative in preparing our introductions for our weekly sermons, because they will command attention. And it helps you to grab that attention and to keep them listening to the sermon. And there are a lot of ways to do this. Perhaps you might want to start with a story. A story is a great way of getting people's attention, and that attention draws them in. If you get a story and it sucks them in, they're going to be with you for a while, right? And I'm just saying, Haddon Robinson was even more strict than Martin Lloyd Jones. He said that if you don't capture their attention in the first 30 seconds, you'll never get it. And so you really need to get a hold of people right at the beginning, and a story sometimes is a way to do that, okay? Here's an example. Here's a story. People like this because it's kind of humorous and we could all relate to it, but here's the story. So this company owned a fancy machine. It broke down and they couldn't fix it. So they called the company mechanic in, but he couldn't fix it. So they had to shut down their business. Finally, they called an expert from out of town. Now, this thing was his specialty. He looked at the machine for a while. He got out a hammer and he gave it a whack. And the machine began to work and the business resumed as usual. And the expert gave the company the bill. And the bill was for $1,000. The company owner was so livid, he asked for the bill to be itemized. So the expert itemized the bill, and here's what he wrote. $1 for hitting the machine and $999 for knowing where to hit the machine. Now, that's a good story, but here's the application. I could bang on your heart's door all day long, but the Word of God knows exactly what you need. God has this amazing ability of speaking to our need through His Word, and He can touch our heart like no other through His Word because it's inspired. It cuts to our heart. It reveals our heart. It is profitable because it establishes our faith and behavior, and it is dependable because it brings us to maturity and equips us for ministry. So I want to discuss with you three reasons why we need to embrace the power of God's Word. So that's an example of a real short introduction that begins with a story. What about a paradoxical statement? Now, a paradoxical statement is a good way to start a sermon because it creates tension and it upsets equilibrium in people's minds. So it gets their attention, right? So you might make this statement. I know God's in control, but the world is falling apart. And some people can relate to that and you have their attention, right? Again, this statement, I live in a noisy world with many competing voices and people understand that and you have their attention and just be creative. And it takes time to craft a statement that grabs their attention, but it's worth the time. Okay. Then number three, another way to start this, you can start with a rhetorical question. So a rhetorical question is something like this. If no one cares for you, would you be alone? That makes people think you have their attention. If no one cares for you, would you be alone? In other words, are there others like you? Okay. So rhetorical question. And a rhetorical question is a question which really doesn't, it's got an expected answer. Okay. You could also start with a startling factor statistic. And I think you'll have to do some research, but Christmas Message started once like this with a statistic. We spend over $1 trillion over the Christmas holidays. What does that say about us as a nation? There you have their attention. What if that $1 trillion were put into evangelism? Think about it. So when you craft the sermon illustration, you can get a startling statistic. You can tell a story. You can use rhetorical question, you can paradoxical statement, anything like that, a quote, anything, just to get their attention, right? And you have to do that. And you also, and through the introduction, you must uncover some needs, right? And uncovering needs is going to motivate the audience to listen to the sermon. So when you get them to listen, but you connect to them on a personal level, you have their attention, and now you can motivate them to listen to the rest of the sermon, right? And then also you must introduce the body of the text. So the introduction should be long enough to introduce the body of the sermon or the main preaching point of the sermon, but not so long that it distracts from the sermon itself. So the audience will want to know what you're going to talk about. Therefore, the introduction should tell them in clear, concise language so they know exactly what the message is about. And then I'd say introductions have other characteristics, obviously. And we need to get those first three tips right. Give attention, you get their attention, uncover needs, introduce the body. But there are a couple of things you ought to remember. Now, the introduction needs to be relevant and contemporary. And by contemporary, I simply mean new. It must speak to people in the day in which they live. And one way to help us live in the now is to get out of our dusty books every now and then, but reading contemporary books is a good way, fresh theologies and other stuff like that, and listen to language written in a modern context. I'm all for reading the Puritans. I'm all for the old writers. I love them. I spend a lot of time with them. A lot of those old dead guys are some of my best friends, right? But you have to read something contemporary every now and then. If you don't, your language will begin to sound puritanical. And just to be honest with you, if that's the way your language comes across, you're not going to connect. You're just not going to connect. So, and second, I would say another characteristic that you want to keep in mind is sometimes the introduction will have to be personal, and people can relate to personal experiences, and it gets their attention, and it motivates them to listen to the sermon and what you're saying, because what you've happened to them, what has happened to you rather, could happen to them, and they want to know how to deal with it when it comes their way, right? So we're talking about this, the sermon introduction. Pardon me, I can't even talk today, but I'm not editing this out. You're getting it just like it's coming. My tongue is tangled up, and I don't know what's going on, but here we are, okay? Now let me just give you a couple things. When you introduce a sermon, number one, start with urgency. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, in preaching, you first have to demonstrate to the people that what you're going to say is very relevant and urgently important. So a great sermon illustration is one where the preacher walks up to the pulpit and get right to it. You cut out the waffling, you cut out the social banter, you cut out trying to, I guess, connect with people in that way. You get up there and you talk to them about the Word of God. It's not time to let them know how well the car wash did on Saturday, right? It's not time to get them warmed up. It's time to preach. So get started and preach, right? And the message this sends, I think, to the people is clear. I've got something to say. I've got something worthwhile to say. And it might make them sit up a little bit straighter in anticipation of what you're going to say next. I would also start high. Say number two, start high. As preachers, we get to preach, and that is a blessing, right? We don't preach because we got to do it. No, we get to do it. We've been called to do it, and it is an honor, and it is exciting to be able to preach. So when you are writing and presenting your sermon introduction, start high. Every time you walk up to the pulpit, open the Bible, you have the opportunity to present the Word of God in a way that it's life-changing. God's Word transforms families. It transforms marriages. It transforms the lives of people like you and me. And in our sermon, we should be excited to share about the love God has for all of us. And there ought to be excitement. And if you are excited about your sermon, your excitement will become contagious. I guarantee it. Let it show. Smile. If it ruptures every muscle in your face, screw your mouth into a smile and keep it on while you preach. And brother, let the people know, because it's not just what you say, it's how you say it as well. So introduce that sermon with genuine excitement, and everybody will know they're about to discover something. They'll follow your lead, and they'll perk up their ears and in anticipation. So I would also sometimes start by giving a call to action. That sounds kind of weird, because we save the call to action to the end sometimes when we get down to the application part, right? We call them to action. But sometimes telling them up front can startle them and snag their attention. So for instance, you could somewhere in the introduction say, at the end of this sermon, I'm going to ask you to, and then name whatever it is. And it's kind of shocking to them because they expect that to come at the end. But this is a good way to get people's attention at the start. They don't expect that direct kind of approach, but sometimes it can work. Again, you could start with an attention-grabbing question, some kind of poignant question. If God is so good, then why do bad things happen in our world? If God loves me, then why did my spouse die? Things like that make people think, and it gets their attention. If I got up and read scripture and I said the very first words out of my mouth, if God is so good, then why do bad things happen in our lives? There you go. that's going to resonate and it's going to connect, because I guarantee you, some of those very people have wondered whether God is still good because they've had to deal with some issue in their life, and you get to talk about that, right? So I've already touched on statistics, but startling facts as well. 1 in 3 marriages will end in divorce. There you go. Actually, it's higher than that, but just say that. You could even say 50% of all marriages, both inside and outside the church, end in divorce. That's going to get their attention. Or how about this one? Only 45% of regular church attenders read their Bible more than once a week. That's startling, right? Or how about this? 51% of Americans deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's a startling fact, and it gets people's attention. How about humor? You like humor? Humor is a good way. If you're good at delivering comedy and you have a kind of a humoristic side to you, then go ahead and be humorous and share some funny things. And yeah, that's okay. And once you have done the introduction and you've used some humor there, try to use the irony found in the joke to illustrate the tension in the life of a listener to move through the rest of your sermon with you. So, for instance, here's this. I'll give you a story. You can use this, right? There was a young bride. She was very nervous. She was planning her wedding. She was increasingly terrified about the upcoming wedding. So to calm her nerves, she decided to have a Bible verse, which always brought her comfort, which was 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear." She wanted that engraved on her wedding cake. So she called the caterer, and all the arrangements were made. Now, about a week before the wedding, she received a call from the catering company. They asked her this question. They said, "Is this really the verse you want on your cake?" "Yes," she said, "it's the one I want." After a few more questions, they said they'd decorate the cake as requested. And then came the wedding day, and everything was fabulous, beautiful, until the reception, when the bride walked in to find the cake emblazoned, not with 1 John 4:18, but with John 4:18, which says, "For you've had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." Now, you can imagine that would put a damper on things. So you can find the irony of miscommunication, some other things in there, and you can use that to help people move through your sermon with you. And you could also start your sermon with scripture, just by reading some verse that relates to what you're going to be preaching and moving from that into your subject and moving along. And so sometimes those passages, if you're not careful, you'll use some that are too long and lose people's attention. So keep it short, keep it pithy, keep it to the point, right? There's a lot of startling statements in the Bible, and sometimes it's good to use anything you can. And so I want to encourage you to work on your sermon introductions, make them better. I know this is short. Won't be any show notes today because I didn't write anything down, just kind of shooting from the hip here and hope it was okay with you. But I'm just going to kind of give you some tips along the way as I think about them. And we're going to try to continue to progress down this road of expositional preaching together. So I hope this particular podcast is being a help and a blessing to you. You sure are a blessing to me. Positive reviews, great contacts. Thank you so much. Reach out to me at alancarr@gmail.com with any questions, any tips, any suggestions, and I'll be sure to take a look at those and get back to you. And be sure and pray for us. And if you would, go to your favorite podcast repository, wherever you get your ear candy, give us a favorable review, please. 5-star if you can, and spread the word. Let other people know about the Preaching Matters podcast. If it is a help to you, then it might become a help to somebody else. And you pray for me. I'm trying to do this kind of as a one-man show here. And if I can improve anything, my delivery, my sound, my topics, let me know. alancarr@gmail.com. Reach out to me, and I'll try to get back with you as quick as I can. But hey, God bless you. Hey, by the way, we do have a Patreon account. And if you'd like to be our patron, we'd love to have you support us. Just click it. It's at the bottom of the page, the show notes page, and you'll see it there. It's in green, and you can support us with a monthly gift or a one-time gift. It'd be a blessing, and it would help us pay the bills. Got a couple things we got to get our hands on equipment-wise, And so we're waiting on the Lord to meet that need. So thank you so much for being here. Tune in next week. We'll come back with another episode, Lord willing. Until then, may God bless you. Thank you once again for joining us today on the Preaching Matters podcast. We'll try to have a new episode out next week. So I encourage you, if you enjoyed the episode or you think someone else would enjoy it, first, I want you to subscribe. And I'd like for you to leave a positive review on the platform of your choice, or on several if you choose. And I'd like for you to tell somebody else about it. This is a podcast for preachers. If you are a preacher or know some preacher who might benefit, share the news. God bless you. Thanks for being here. I pray that preaching goes well for you. God blesses you in your work for His glory. Pray for us, and Lord willing, we'll see you next week.